You're listening to Donscast, an unofficial fan podcast about the greatest Australian football team, the Essendon Bombers. My name is Jamie.
No, I'm Nick.
Mate, we finally got through another season. Unfortunately, we're not going into the finals. That kind of breaks our run of 1 year in the final, 1 year out. But yeah, I think we can all agree, especially on the basis of the last 6 weeks, we weren't deserving of playing finals. And Friday night really typified that by us kicking a grand total of 3 goals and allowing Collingwood to kick 9 first quarter goals. Which is just, on the back of an absolute hiding from the GWS, you would think there was going to be some response. And yes, we had a lot of numbers out and, a younger side. But, I still think that if you have self-respect, you go at it harder than what the players played with, I thought, on Friday night. And, we're just so fumbly and, it's just so disappointing. And, mate, I sat there right until the siren went, copped it from a heap of Collingwood supporters. And even though we were a bit better after quarter time, we didn't allow the same volume of goals. We never really looked attacking, and just our ball errors, our skill errors was just terrible. The way we left a football on the ground and just didn't want to put our head over the footy. Really disappointing. How did you find Friday night?
I guess look, it's not as bad as you say, Jane. We only let through 8 first quarter goals, so give the boys a bit of credit. It was just so utterly bemusing. Because at the start you thought, we seem to be playing okay. There was a nice big grab in the back line from Big Weeds, which is good, but then we turned it over, and that seemed to be the the flavour of the day, really, because then we went up the other end of the ground and Merritt actually hit Wiedemann up forward, and he thought, geez, Wiedemann comes out with some strong marking form, but he passed it off to Redmond, who just shanked the kick, and we just weren't switched on. And to make matters worse, within that first couple of minutes, Jane, Baldwin went for a contest in the back line the first couple of minutes of the game and copped a knock from Cameron, I think it was, straight to the head, and he went off for concussion protocols and ended up being subbed out of the game. And, McDonald, Tip and Woody, who we were hoping to bring on as a bit of a super sub late in the game, had to be called on, and that threw us out totally. Apart from that, there was just a lot of easy coast-to-coast goals to Collingwood. Like we'd push forward, and everyone's happy running forward, but running back was a bit too hard for them by the sounds of it, Jane, because Collingwood were just running, spreading, providing options for each other, and we were 5, 10, 15 metres off at stages. We demonstrated slow play, turned the ball over, basically at Collingwood's will. There were blokes who were just totally, it was like deer in the headlights kind of stuff, Jane. Like, there was blokes like Cox, who, I thought he showed a little bit, not a lot over the last few games, but showed a little bit more composure. There was one right in our 50 where he absolutely packed himself.
The drop mark from Cox, that was a bit embarrassing.
That's the thing, because it was a nice, easy mark, and I figured who it was, maybe Mason Cox, just basically, he's got to mark this, I'll let him go, kind of thing, and he dropped it, and ridiculous. Blokes like McGrath, he can gather up all the footy he likes, Jane, but he can't lay a tackle. And he's one of our leaders, Jane, and he's our vice captain. The body language also of Mason Redmond, he was defeated. all night, like dropping his head and, you know, mumbling under his breath. As the leader of the football club, you've been signed up for a big deal, you know, for 5 years or whatever it is. And, you know, he's showing that sort of body language only a couple of weeks after. You know, you have to lift. You have to, you know, actually lead by example, even if you're not playing the best game. And we've seen this time and time again from Zach Merritt, where, yeah, he's been tagged out of games or maybe he's not best by form, but he works his way into the game each and every time, like through tackles, through pressure, you know, whatever he has to do, he bloody does it. And yeah, to see leaders of this football club, you know, drop their bundle like that was just really disappointing to see.
It was, and the missed tackles really stuck to mind. Yeah, it was almost like a token effort, stick out an arm and let him run around you. And yeah, it was really disappointing. Like that, you know, we've mentioned this a number of years now. Our inability to take really strong tackles. We just haven't been able to hold players. We've talked about, we kind of understood a little bit, you know, players like Durham and Martin on the wings. They, you know, they're not the strongest tacklers. And but I mean, it's across the board. And as you say, Andy McGrath, there were some really weak efforts there, I thought. Even Redmond just sticking out the arm. Yeah. You know, he's strong enough to be able to lay a real strong tackle. But if it comes down to intent, I think, and I think you're right. I think some of the players, they weren't switched on. I think they're thinking about holidays before the game was done, you know, knowing that we weren't playing finals. It's not good enough on the back of, you know, last week against the Giants. You know, you had to kind of have some kind of response, and to have a goalless quarter to respond in a big game on Friday night football, it's quite embarrassing. And yeah, I really hope they think of us fans. You know, we stick by them, but you know, their efforts don't seem to match that they love to play for that jumper. And meanwhile, we're the ones ridiculed because, you know, we're barracking for a team that, you know, at times, and you know, this will sound harsh, at times the players don't seem to have a lot of care in the jumper, and that's because they're not willing to do the hard things to respond.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. I mean, look, you know, we talked about last week how against the Giants, that was a do or die game. Yeah, that was, you know, it was finals or bust. And unfortunately, we weren't bust because we just weren't able to get up and about. We ended up losing by 21 goals. That's bad enough. But this game, where I know it's a dead rubber match, but it's a send-off game for Andrew Phillips, a bloke like a journeyman ruckman who's, you know, got the most out of himself. Yeah, had to go to three different clubs to do so. And Anthony McDonald and Tim Woody, it was his send-off game, and he just couldn't get up and about for that. Like, so one, it shows you that this club, obviously doesn't have a standard and doesn't make itself accountable for performing week in, week out, but also they don't play for each other. They play for themselves, which is why, unfortunately, I thought Flip, did his typical effort in the ruck there, thought he was pretty good. Obviously, McDonald Tip Woody was, short of a gallop. Even he was still trying to, you know, tackle and harass. There was no one else sort of working for him, no one to try and bring him into the game. The only time that, someone tried to bring him into the game deliberately was Zach Merritt, running through the middle of the ground, tried to hit him with a beautiful pass, and Parrish got in the way. And not only did he get in the way, he dropped the friggin' mark.
Yeah.
So if you're going to do that, if you're going to jump in the mark, you better take that mark, because, like, we saw what happened. A golden opportunity, from John Tippin Woody to kick a goal, let alone one of our very only scoring chances for the game. And this selfish footballer comes through, goes, oh, oops. Look, I know, Darcy Parrish works hard and all the rest of it. Maybe he wasn't aware. But I think that's part of the problem, like the lack of game awareness and who else is around you, James, let alone, just trying to, see ball, get ball.
So your thoughts, mate, on Darcy Parrish? That was his 150th game, which is a great effort. We all saw Darcy from his first game. I think it was against Melbourne. I remember a game against Melbourne early in his career where he kicked a goal that basically finished off Melbourne. And that year we weren't supposed to win a game, if you remember.
Yep.
I think it was Zaharakis gave him the handball and he kicked a wonderful goal. But we've seen him 150 games. He's still out of contract. The narrative is that Essendon have offered him 5 years at around $7 to $7.50 a year,
mm-hmm.
which is very fair, I think. His management are holding out. They're pushing out. They want another year. They want 6 years. Mm-hmm. They want there's a CBA contract where you'll get – oh, sorry, CBA incentive where you get 10% to your total salary cap. So his management are pushing that Darcy should get that 10% salary increase on whatever he signs.
Mm-hmm.
So to me, it's sounding like they say he's desperate to sign with us and we're desperate to sign him. But, actions speak louder than words, and we'll speak about that soon. But, if I want to sign, I think I've been offered really good terms. If you offered me 5 years at $7,750, I reckon I can get by on that, but to get 10%, you want to have another 10% added onto that, depending on the CBA and so forth. I just think that's unrealistic. And to ask for 6 years when you're 26, that pushes you to 32. I totally understand why Essendon aren't just rolling out the red carpet on that.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, I think, was it Jared?
Waitley, yep.
Jared Waitley, was sort of saying, look, 5 years is really good. You don't do 6 years for a good AFL player. And I think that's all he's really proven to be, Jane. Like, yes, he's had his All-Australian year, but his decision-making and disposal at times has, basically meant that he can't set himself apart, from other midfielders. Because, while he's gathering the footy, he's not as damaging as you might like. Like, if, you see with Zach Merritt, he's so damaging with his use of football, which is why other teams go and tag him. They want to, stifle his influence. They don't tag Darcy because, he can get the ball as many times as you like, but invariably he'll give it back. Whether it's through turnover or through, miss kick or slowing the play down or whatever it is, he doesn't hurt you. Certainly doesn't hurt you with his ball use nor on the scoreboard. So look, obviously he's a gun player. So we want to keep him because he does offer us a lot, but not at any price. I think If he's solely holding out for money, and to be quite realistic, Jamie, it's a professional environment, and his professional standards are not worthy of a $800,000+ contract to my mind. For that you need to be really one of the leaders of the game. And look, he's good. He's very good at what he does in terms of clearances and stuff like that. But he has deficiencies in a lot of areas, which to me says, you're a needed member of the side. But, if you're holding out for a big contract, thinking you are, better than better than everyone else on the list sort of thing, you can go earn your money elsewhere. Here we want people to play for the jumper, play for the Essendon Football Club. Yes, we'll pay you a fair and generous fee for your services, but if your professional output doesn't reach those sort of lofty standards of what you're asking for in terms of a contract, we won't be paying it. I really hope we stick to our guns on that.
Yeah, well, as Jared Waitley said to his management, or said of his management, they've got delusions of grandeur. So so it's basically they are asking for something that, you know, Essendon's already met them with a very good offer. So either you're doing this as a as like a guise to say, well, we've got no intentions of signing with Essendon, so we're just going to test the waters. We'll just keep asking for too much until it puts Essendon into a spot where they realise, oh, we'll either have to trade him or let him go in free agency. So if that's their ploy, you know, that's the only other way I can think of it when you ask for something that's unrealistic. So we'll see how that plays out. Now, we've heard Geelong's been floating around in the background for much of the year. So we'll see how true those links are. But, yeah, I'll be very disappointed to lose Parrish because, let's face it, we're not a good enough footy side to be able to lose that kind of talent. And to get a draft pick or something in return, well, we've put 8 years into Darcy Parrish. So, you know, we know how draft picks can be hit and miss at the best of times, but then you've got to put the time into them to get them up to the speed of the game, and that can take a number of years. So, yeah, it really puts us behind if we do lose him. So, yeah, I'll be watching this space pretty closely, but yeah, pretty disappointed how it's gone down currently. Maybe like we did last week, we're not going to go through the game. Again, you know, we can talk about it simplistically, but it's not worth going through the quarters because the first quarter was one-way traffic. Yeah, the second quarter, we actually got on the scoreboard, you know, with a goal. Did we add two goals in the second?
Two goals.
And I think they were through Wiedemann kicked one, and who was
Langford,
the other one?
Langford.
Langford. He kicks a goal every week, as we know. But even Kyle, he was struggling with his kicking boot that day. I think he ended up kicking one goal four. So he didn't look comfortable kicking for goal on the night. And we got another goal in the third, I think, through Wiedemann. So, and then in the last, again, held goalless. So pretty disappointing.
So we were goalless in the third, and that last goal came in the last quarter.
Oh, okay. So it was two quarters goalless, though, wasn't it? First and third?
Yep.
And, yeah, mate, that was the end that the Essendon fans were at, I think. Is that right? I think we kicked to our end, where the salt, where our cheer squad was.
Well, unfortunately, by the end of the game, James, a lot of people had left, so you couldn't tell who was supposed to be there.
Well, I can tell you it was the cheer squad end because I thought, Tipper, when he comes on, I was just thinking if he's going to come on late, would have been nice for us to be kicking to the end our cheer squad was. In the end, it didn't matter. As you said, we lost Baldwin very early in the game, and Tip was brought on. And mate, I know it's only a little thing, but gee, we don't do theatrics very well.
Yeah.
You know, when Tipper came on, right, it was his last game. Now, I know it's hard to time these things, but, you know, we ran him on as Collingwood had just kicked a goal.
Yeah.
You know, so you didn't even get this, you know, build-up of watching Tipper get ready and then run out into the field and getting that. I don't know if everyone remembers that Hawthorn game in round one.
Yeah.
Like, that was the way to do it. You know, the crowd just was in, you know, it was just such an elated crowd seeing him run onto the ground. We certainly didn't do it well. You know, again, I know it's only a small thing, but I just think we could have got a momentary lift, from that kind of thing. But, it was sad to see Tipper go. I think if we're realistic, mate, I don't think Tipper came back with the mindset to make a huge impact. And this is not a knock on him, but he just couldn't get his body looking like an AFL professional footballer. you know, he's been in the system now since what, November, and still to be carrying that, and I'm the last to knock people for carrying some bit of excess weight, mate. But I'm not in a professional footy system either, so it was obviously a battle for him. So I think the right decision's been made, but I do want to say a big thank you to Anthony McDonald Tipton-Woody. He's brought a lot of happiness to me and my family. My daughters and that, they used to love watching Tipper play. Even my grandson, when he was born, one of his favorite dolls or soft teddies was the Tipper. The braids and that, he'd carry that around, and so he's definitely made an impact. And what I really liked was that the club's going to keep him on as an ambassador with a little bit of the coaching and that for our Aboriginal and Indigenous players, which is a wonderful thing, to have Anthony still associated with the club.
Yeah, it is. Sad to see him go. I was hoping, it's going to be a bit of a fairy tale return for him. But I do have to say, it was pretty clear from seeing him running out on the day that he was still a long way off AFL level fitness, and might have been a bit of a bridge too far to work straight up. So you can understand the decision making there, and absolutely having him on the list for the year and playing that VFL football with the likes of Davey, Mankara, Wanganeen, would have been just, invaluable to these young blokes. And to have him stick around, still associated with the club in that ambassador role. I'm hoping he's involved with both the AFL and VFL programs, because, we certainly need that, Indigenous culture, that sort of background to set a bit of a culture for these young blokes to help them, acclimatise to AFL level football, to stay connected, as a community, and for them to be able to play their best football. So I'm really happy that Tip is still going to be involved with the club, but we'll be sad not to see him light up the G, mate.
Yeah, it'll be sad not to see that number 43. On his back, during games. I always remember that Brisbane game in Melbourne at the G.
Yeah.
He just lit it up and kicked seven, and he was just a highlight reel at times, and fantastic servant of the club. So went on Anthony, and he came to the club at a dark period, mate, when our players had just been rubbed out. And he brought a lot of smiles, as I said, to a lot of Essendon fans. Mate, it was also the last game for Flip. He's played a lot of games in the ones, the most in his career, I believe, in 1 year. So he's gone out. Obviously Brad really liked his physicality. Never a world beater, but... did have a physical presence out there, and it'll be interesting to see what the club does going forward. Obviously Nick Bryan still hasn't signed on yet. The club's confident, apparently, that he will stay. But, there's a bit of work to be done, because we'll still need another backup ruckman with some physical traits, because, we saw when we lost Draper, really left us a bit short in the kit bag.
Yeah, certainly did, mate. I think it's been, obviously a really good season for Flip personally. It's good that he's able to go out on his own terms, but playing his best footy. In what is it, 13 years or so he's been in the system, he's played the most games. At AFL level this season, his last year, which is unfortunate that he wasn't able to string more footy together in his time at the level, but still 81 games or 82 games, whatever it worked out to be, is highly commendable. And to be able to provide that physical presence to protect, you know, the likes of, you know, Draper having to play full games and Brian having to go up against the monsters of the competition, has been great. And then having, you know, when Draper went down, for, you know, Brian to be able to, you know, ruck in tandem with Phillips has been, you know, great for his development. Again, he could ruck, but he didn't have to shoulder the whole load. So I think he's played a, yeah, quite a good role. So well done for your career, Andrew Phillips. And, yeah, good luck in Tassie.
Yeah, well done. Now, mate, I guess the big talking points after the game, obviously, you know, Essendon's performance in was critiqued heavily.
Mm-hmm.
But I think we heard from Brad Scott after the game, and he was very candid with his thoughts. And you could tell he was trying to go, like, he didn't mince words, but he didn't want to go too hard. So, but some of the key points that I picked up on, some of the lifestyles that the players have don't match AFL professional football. So, or leave a lot to be desired. So, I think that's pretty damning, that statement.
Mm-hmm.
So, you can only presume what he's meaning there, but we have heard rumors, or at least hints, that there is some party boy kind of atmosphere down there in a, or a bit of culture like that. And we won't mention the players' names because we're from afar. But that's the, there is certain players that are known to be in that scene. So if that kind of stuff's getting back to Brad, and then he's seeing lackluster performances, you can imagine, yeah, that's going to be a bit of a bone in his spur, you know, like, because he's not going to be happy to wear bullets for players that aren't prepared to wear bullets for him, if you know what I mean. So you've got to actually perform as well, and if you want to have an alternative lifestyle, you could definitely, you have to then perform. Yeah, I've heard a lot of people say, and I will mention this player's name, Laverty, he started playing badly once he got on Fortnite.
Yeah.
Now, yeah, I don't know if that's true or not. Like, but I think if you put yourself in public in, you know, in platforms like that,
yeah,
you've really got to have good performance behind it. Otherwise, you're going to be finger pointed at. And things like that. I'm wondering what he's alluding to. Yeah, obviously, Jake Stringer, he'll be one. Yeah, he's just had surgery, we've learnt.
Mm.
But the difference between his best and worst is so far apart. You know, and it's also depending on his fitness, on how much output he can put in. But, you know, I think Brad would softly be meaning towards him as well. He's going to have to change, you know, some things to present in the best possible way.
Yeah, absolutely, Jane. Yeah, with those lifestyles, you're right. Like, I guess with Laverty, I mean, yeah, I personally think he's one of the, you know, tougher players in the side. Like, he's not, yeah, he's never going to win, you know, the world's most talented award or anything like that. But I think he does put in, week out, albeit his form hasn't been great the last, what, 5-6 weeks or whatever. Which, you're right, does seem to sort of correlate with, you know, when he kicked off his gaming platform campaign. And I think, you know, unfortunately for the players, they are in this professional industry where you do live under the spotlight, where, yeah, if you're not performing, then, you know, stuff outside of the football field will get highlighted. And for him, it happens to be, you know, his gaming ventures, whether that's, yeah, got anything to do with his drop-off in form, people will point to that because that's all we can see, Jay. We don't see whether they're, like, he's playing with an injury. Now, one thing we've talked about privately, James, is, like, that knock he received in that, you know, Geelong game. Like, a lot of us were thinking, geez, he might be out for a while here. Now, he did get up and he did play out the season. But, has he been carrying something this whole time? It also correlated with, Ridley going out of the side with injury, Jane. And, basically since Ridley got injured, our back six has been woeful. Like, just our structure, the way we, compete for the footy, how we man up on other players has been just thrown out, ridiculously. Like, what was looking like a really solid and composed back six, up to mid-season, Jane, looks totally, I don't know, out on their feet this back half of the year. So all these things go into it, on the face, like when you lay it out like that, you can go, oh, yeah, there are those other factors. But also is this, you're playing games rather than got your head focused solely on football, which is, I guess, as a fan, we're us nuppies of the community, we love footy and, we think about it, we talk about it, do podcasts about it. But for those AFL players, it is their livelihood. They're in the club all the time. They should have the right to have, external or like a life outside of the club, basically. But when you're not performing, things get put under the torch. So perhaps that's a timing thing more than anything else. Personally, in terms of issues, I kind of see that as less than other stuff we've heard about, party boy cultures and stuff like that. But also it's more to do with, for me, how you attack the footy on game day. Now, I was thinking, Jane, about the famous Rat Pack, like of Collingwood. So you had, Dane Swan and all of those boys, and they get up to a bit of mischief on the weekends and all the rest of it. But on game day, they were switched on, Jane. Like, you hear stories of Dane Swan, when he represented Australia against Ireland in that sort of match over there. He got absolutely blind one night. He was out until 3 o'clock in the morning. Had to sneak home to the hotel, and then came out that next day, played an absolute blinder. One player of the series or something like that. I'm not saying that. That's what people should be doing is definitely not the example. But what I'm saying is, some people have the ability to, switch off when they're outside of the club and do their thing. But then once you cross that white line, you are a football player and you have to, bleed for the jumper. You have to, put everything out there. That's what we're missing, Jane. So if people want to play their party boy lifestyles, you can do that so long as you can, perform on game day. Right now, these party boys or, players more generally, I don't think it's 23 players going out and partying every week. But these guys aren't performing on game day. And that's where the scrutiny comes in for, how they're not switched on and where the, frustration comes from, because you have to perform for 2 hours, Jay. From the very start of that Collingwood game, from the very start of the GWS game, we haven't been switched on, and it's not good enough.
No, and it's hard to watch as fans. Mate, other things that Brad said is that we need to fix. Obviously, we need to make changes to our playing list, our football department, and the wider, he didn't think fitness was a concern, which is kind of doesn't match his message either.
Mm.
We've heard, I think the players are tired. So he's not blaming the fitness staff for that. So to me, he's putting it solely on the players not being up to, that's why they've dropped away so much, is that the fitness or the training staff have given them the correct training.
Mm-hmm.
They just haven't done the work, and that's why they dropped off. That's the way I read it, because he didn't put the fitness team, in as an area of concern. But he certainly said we need to make changes to our list, changes to our, changes to our football department. And wonder what that kind of typifies or says about our list management. Mm. you know, we've heard a lot of rumblings around, you know, Adrian Dodoro. A couple of weeks ago, Craig Vozzo basically guaranteed he'll be there. Brad did speak about there's a lot of opportunities out there. We think there's lots of opportunities to get players back into the club, well, new additions. So it'll be interesting to see how that's going to all play out and what the tough calls are going to be, because that's the other thing he said was that if we had just missed out on finals in the last two games, yeah, we just lost, it might have given us a false, you know, reading of where we're at.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas now it's abundantly clear we are, you know, a long way off it.
Yeah.
And, you know, we need to make change. So I thought that was a pretty big notice period to the players that, hey, I'm going to set up the off-season, not just the pre-season, the off-season.
Yeah.
And you can imagine those exit interviews, mate, are going to be, I expect you at this rate at the start of preseason, for example, you should be able to, you know, not blow out a candle running 2K when you come back. So if you are, then, you know, you may have to go away from the group and just keep working at your fitness before you can join main training or, you know, whatever it's going to be. But it sounded quite ominous. And if I'm a player that's not pulling my weight, I think that's, you know, I'm definitely on notice now.
Yeah, and I think that's probably one thing that does intrigue us, because look, one of the other things he said in that conference is like, yeah, this will be my first opportunity to really drive the off season, like not just the preseason, the off season. And a lot of people go, oh no, you were there since like the day after the grand final, you know, you should have had enough say there. But not really, because yeah, for mine, when you think about it, yeah, at the end of this game, like, so, you know, right at the end of the game, he's put the players on notice. He said, we're going to make, you know, changes to the list, changes to the, you know, the setup behind it. And so, yeah, right from there, they're on notice. They're not on notice from, you know, late September or October. I can't remember when it was when Brad Scott gave his conference to say, it might have been that 29th September, Jane, where he took over as coach and said, you know, how they show up at pre-season will tell me how invested they are in their careers kind of thing. You've got a full month on that. So now, so they'll have these, their player interviews and whatever. List decisions will be made. Blokes who might have mates, they have their careers, in jeopardy at the moment. They're going to see that, and they'll know that, you know, Brad Scott is going to be speaking to all of them. And so you've got that extra month now where the players, they can go off and enjoy themselves, have a fat time, go overseas, do whatever you want to do. But by the time you show up for pre-season, you must be fit. You must be ready to go. Or, you know, I'll know that you're not serious. You're not living the lifestyle of an AFL player. And I think that's the value of, you know, going to the second year. He's now had that 12 months to sort of look around and go, okay, these are the players I've got on the list. But further than that, these are the assistant coaches I'm working with, and, you know, whether they continue or not. Same thing with support staff. At all levels, he's now got that, you know, that data to review to make some decisions on. I'm really hoping there's some alignment between he and Craig Vozzo to make those tough decisions for the betterment of the AFL Football Club. And whether you like someone or not, you know, their performance should be the thing that stands out above anything. And, you know, it's not only the players on notice, James. You know, there'll be certain senior people at the club who should be, looking over their shoulder if they haven't performed, their role to the benefit of the football club. We've seen Josh Marnie he's departed the Essendon Football Club, whether that was encouraged or not.
It sounds like with him, mate, that he may have a role at the AFL. I think listening to the commentary around it, even from Brad himself, he said Josh is going to be really welcomed in the AFL system at the AFL level. So to me, I think there's a handshake agreement that he's off to the AFL.
Yep.
And he's been in clubland, as he said, a long time. And I'm hearing that we may not directly replace his spot. So it may not be that we advertise his position. I believe McPherson, or I think one of Brad's main men that he brought across when he joined the Bombers. Mm-hmm. He's going to take on a much bigger role. McPherson and Izzard, he's going to have a bigger role that may include some of the duties of the football manager.
Mm-hmm.
And that Craig Vozzo himself, as the CEO, may even perform some of the more football-related stuff. So, Craig Vozzo's really got a big role to play, it sounds like, because he's going to have a lot to do with the list management and if he's going to also oversee some of the football things as well. It sounds like he's going to be a real mainstay of what we do in the future.
Well, I mean, at least Craig Vozzo has that football background, like at Clubland. Yeah, he's been a recruiter. He's obviously been senior administrator, while over at the Eagles, and now CEO with us. So, yep, at least he's got that football background. But I do think there's a fair bit of danger, with the head honcho being involved in all areas of the business, Jane. We obviously saw Xavier extend his hand into all areas of the club, which was, we saw the results from that. It'll be a bit of a watch this space, I guess. I guess right now, all we can say is that, he said a lot of things, but they're just words, Jack. So until we actually see some meaningful change at the club, and I don't mean just, names leaving or coming into the club. Like, I mean actual change in terms of, cultural setting standards and all the rest of it. We'll have to be patient for that. Because right now, I am sure many other Essendon fans are just fed up, frustrated, just flat out disappointed at what the Essendon Football Club has shown up for the last 6 weeks. And as Brad Scott said, recency bias is a real thing. Despite our good performances that first half of the year, the back half of our year has been so disappointing. It just leaves us with a bitter taste in our mouths going to this next year. And so right now it's on Brad Scott, it's on Craig Vozzo and the players within the Essendon Football Club to turn this bus around, because otherwise I sort of fear for what the future may hold. We've been very resilient and patient as a supporter base, Jane. We saw another record-breaking membership tally of just over 86,000. But you're going to see a lot of fans drop off if you're not holding up your end of the bargain and performing as a football team on the field.
Oh, 100%. Those last two games, 41 goals to 8 it is.
Mm-hmm.
So your opposition's kicked 41 and Essendon's kicked 8 goals. Isolate just those two games alone. But if you go back the last 6 weeks, I think our scores plus was 380. Our score, 380, and our opposition 620 or something. So they're massive numbers. And it just goes to show we haven't just been getting beaten. And apart from the Sydney game where we lost by 2 points, and then we beat the two bottom teams by a total of 10 points in total, those other games have been absolute blowouts, like 70 plus. And as we know with the Giants, it was 126. So The club has to be better than that. And, you know, the resources the club has, you know, everyone's talking about just $3 million we got sitting in our war chest, as they say, mate.
Mm-hmm.
So it'll be very interesting to see how we plan on investing that. Obviously, we need more senior players coming into the club. Mm-hmm. Our three oldest players next year are going to be Heppel, Scheel, and Stringer. So these are your three oldest players. I think we do need some harder bodies there, mate, to maybe able to add a bit more leadership around, being from good teams. I believe we're looking into Sam Menegola from Geelong. Now, he's a bigger body. He's in his 30s, mate, but he's come from Geelong. So he may be one that the club looks at. I don't know if you remember, mate, back in the day, do you remember when his name was written on the whiteboard? So maybe that will finally come into fruition. I saw something interesting, and I can't see this being real, but even Jack Steele from St Kilda, the captain there, there's talks that he's not happy there and that he may look for an exit. Well, he's the kind of player that Essendon would, love to investigate, I think.
Mm-hmm.
He might not have come from a system of, being ultimately successful, but, he's well respected among the league. So, that sounds like a bit of a false hope, that one. But, I mean, if there's any truth into that, I'd be investigating it.
Yep.
And even the Ben McKay, mate, we're hearing Brandon Zirk Thatcher's going to ask for a trade request to go back to South Australia to go to Port Adelaide.
Mm-hmm.
If that's true, we heard about our interest with Ben McKay, but even then, it sounds like Essendon were haggling there, and Sydney have come in with a huge contract offer that will give North what they want, which is compensation, which is, they want that second pick directly after their first.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if Sydney can deliver that, obviously it's a no-brainer for if Ben decides to live in Sydney, for them to commit to that. And it leaves us, really, if we lost Zirk, we're going to be in real trouble with our back line because, Zach Reed has proven that he hasn't been able to play out a season,
mm-hmm.
Or even 10 games in a season, really. And he's pencil thin. So where's your fullback going to come from?
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, we got Laverty and Ridley, and even Baldwin's not signed up. So, there's a lot of concerns for me in that back line. But, it's going to be a real interesting off-season, where the club goes, because, our list is by no means, settled for what it needs, especially in terms of list makeup.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be Jane.
Great. Yeah, there's going to be some, a lot of work that we're going to have to do to look at our list effectively and go, what do we need to bring in or take out? Which, as you mentioned, I'm hoping all our eggs aren't in that one basket, Jane, because, other teams are looking to improve their list also. And if it's true, Zirk's going to head to Port, which by the sounds of it is. I mean, if you've got the likes of Cal Toomey, spruiking at Jane, you're pretty safe to put in the bank. He's not one to, shout off spurious comments. I suppose all we can do is be disappointed, but, understand, for Zirk as a young bloke, maybe a bit of homesickness or whatever. He has given us 6 years. By the same token, we've put 6 years of investment into him. But that's footy. Sometimes you don't win them all. He has provided some pretty good service over the last 2 years at least. It'd be a shame, but we have to plug that hole. And as you say, Jane, what we have on the list right now, yeah, he's not going to, you know, cover that hole. We just don't have the size for it, as you say, like Cox, Reed, if he's fit, like they're still thin. Bourbon isn't signed yet. So, yeah, plenty of questions. So I'm hoping, yeah, our recruitment team, who will have the spotlight on them, and quite rightly, yeah, need to be, you know, doing a bit of work.
I sure do. Mate, what do you think of this trade proposal? BZT to Port, their second round pick, and Fantasia back to the Bombers.
No thanks. No, thank you.
I swear to God, it's been muted, mate. It has been put forward. We might be able to get 4 or 5 games out of him over 3 years, mate. So
yeah, exactly.
No, but we are in the hunt for a goal sneak, mate. You know that.
Mm.
The other player we've been linked to, just quickly before we go on to having a break, was Jade Gresham, mate. There's been a lot of talk about Essendon being very aggressive in their chase for Jade Gresham. Big contract officer. Again, he's another player that can be a bit of a goal sneak, but also go on ball as well. But again, mate, he'd be joining an on-ball team where he's so short. Again, we're so small in the midfield, especially against some of the better sides. I really hope we're not going to be spending big portion of our money on a player like that, which doesn't really address needs that we need to, you know, correct.
Yeah, absolutely, Jane. I agree with that. Look, he's a good player, obviously. But who are you going to take out? I mean, we've got young blokes in the wings that, you know, will need to put in that position, like your Hobbs, Sardis, and that's not even counting, you know, Zach Merritt, Perkins. Obviously, you've got, Shiel, you'll be able to get back. There's plenty of blokes playing that sort of role. And look, while, you know, Gresham would be an upgrade on some blokes, to be quite frank, you know, such as Guelphy, Snelling and the likes, our composition in the middle of the ground, we are so small. And it shows, Jane. Like you look at our body types up against the likes of Geelong and GWS, we look like kids and we get smacked accordingly. So, look, I don't think that's the kind of player we need. But if Adrian Dodoro sticks around, I dare say that's the kind of player we're going to, you know, look to bring on.
That's right. Well, mate, I think we'll have a break. We come back. We've got a quick discussion. We've got our AFLW team going to play their debut game of season 2 when they play the Hawks on Saturday night, which I'll be attending. And also we'll go by the numbers and we'll announce the Doncaster medal winner. And you're listening to Don's Cast. Mate, one thing I forgot to bring up was that James Stewart, in a surprise, had his contract basically, was told he was going to be delisted, despite having a 1-year deal or 1 year to go on his current contract. His manager, Peter Jess, has said, he'll go to a club where Essendon will be effectively paying his contract. So wherever he goes, he'll be off their books and Essendon will pay the contract for him. Again, this comes down to list management and it makes you wonder about, you know, obviously we don't know all the inner workings of the club, but James Stewart, he got a 2-year deal on the back of playing 6 games and being injured, at the end of last year. He was rewarded with a 2-year deal. Now, he was 28 years of age. So we basically signed him up till his 30th. Birthday. Now, it doesn't make a lot of sense to me because now we've had him for a year. Yes, he's been injured, and you know, maybe at the time they didn't know that was going to be the case. But we've now made the decision, despite having not a big lot of key position players, that he is, you know, not required to the club. So, again, we know James has had a tough year personally, you know, with foot problems, and then he lost his father and got himself back last week. He kicked 5 goals in the twos, mate. It seems strange timing. You know, I don't know if anything happened. To have that announced last week.
Yeah.
Yeah. You hope it wasn't. You know, you wouldn't think at 29 you're going to have some disciplinary action against you. It was just strange the way that went down. And to be told, thanks, but no thanks. We'll rip up the contract, and yes, we'll pay you out, no problems. But go and find another club. It leaves you bewildered with the list management on that, because it doesn't seem to make a lot of sense.
No, it doesn't, Jane. You sort of wonder whether he's come back, made himself fit, kicked 5 goals, and we said, hey, that's not the performance standards we live for in the Essendon Football Club. It's bewildering to me because, he's got his shortcomings, Jimmy Stewart. We all know that. But whether he's been put forward or back, I thought he's battled, pretty hard. When we put him down back, I thought he performed pretty admirably for a bloke who'd never played that position, really. Obviously, he's had his injury issues. So he's found life a bit hard on that front. But it was the Essendon Football Club that offered him a 2-year deal, that signed that 2-year deal. And now we're tearing it up just 1 year out into it. As you say, we're going to be paying his salary anyway. The thing that really smacks to me of a bit of disrespect, really, Jane, is you've done it not at the end of the season. You've done it, before the season's out, like at the end of the VFL season. So James Stewart, for mine, obviously we don't know the inner workings and all the rest of it, but he's a bloke who, not through fault of his own, has been injured, and has had to work, through the whole season to try to get himself fit, and then he'd get another injury and he'd work again. So he's done all this, really tough work behind the sidelines. And obviously, when he has come out and played, like, he's kicked 5 goals, so he's obviously done something right. He looked pretty fit. He's a bloke who offers a lot of versatility. And we've said, no thanks. Knowing what we have on the list, Zach Reed, who's been prone to injury, Harry Jones, who's been prone to injury, Nick Cox, prone to injury. That's not even going to, your Drapers of the world, or, Peter Wright, or anything like that. Baldwin. So we're sort of saying, hey, despite all our injury issues, you're the one that has to go. Surely something could have been worked out over the off season to go, look, you're surplus to our needs, James. Thank you for your service. We'll find you a good club. And even if you were still going to pay that contract out, you could have done it a lot more professionally. For mine. And it smacks to me of, we just don't learn from our mistakes. I know a bit of a different circumstance, Jane, but you look at how we handled Truck Rutten last year. And look, he had to go for mine. I think the absolute right call was made, but how we did it was, a bit shameful, really. I mean, obviously, we were trying to have our cake and eat it too, going after Clarkson while saying, no, but you just still look after things, Ben. Don't worry. How we handled that. And then you look at this, to me, when I saw the news, I was like, geez, way to kick a bloke while he's down. Like, he's had a year from hell. He's just got up and about, kicked 5 goals to finish off the VFL year. And that's the time you say, all right, now we're going to move you on as well.
And to make it public too, mate, because that discussion could have been had. But it was pretty early floated in the media, in your news stories. So it wasn't hidden. It's quite public, I think. And again, that professionalism, mate, you talk about. I don't know how professional that is. Like, what did Geelong handle it like that? I sometimes wonder, just about our standards and how we do things.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, look, the other side of it is maybe we're desperate for list spots. And you can absolutely see that. Like, if we want to talk about bringing, senior blokes in to improve our list, you can go, okay, well, look, we could do with some of those. But again, like there's better ways of doing it. You kind of look at our list, Jamie, and I was looking at our sort of players out of contract at the moment, and there's enough there for list to change to say that we should be able to bring in some blokes. So I don't know how deep we're going to cut, obviously we've had the retirement of Flip and Dogtip Woody, so that's already two gone. By the sounds of it, Zerk Thatcher's off to Port, so that's three. Obviously there's a bunch of sort of rookie players and blokes who've been around a little while that just haven't made it into the AFL system. And obviously some of those rookies maybe want to sign on. Like a Voss or
Montgomery.
Boulders. Baldwin.
Yeah,
yeah. Perhaps we're going to sign those blokes up, but we'll have to let some other blokes go. Before going into all of that, I just thought, it's pretty bewildering for mine.
Yeah, it was strange. Yeah, mate, we've got the AFLW commencing this week. Our first game is against Hawthorn, like we did last year when we debuted, played Hawthorn at Marvel last time. This time we're coming down to Frankston and at Connect Stadium. And, it should be an interesting game. I'm going down to have a look, being so close to home. And, it'd be interesting to see how the girls go. It'd be nice to start the season again with a first up win.
Well, mate, hopefully we can get it going. I actually listened to the Sash W podcast, Jane. And they interviewed Bonnie Toogood. She's one of the co-captains along with what's her name? Stephanie
Kane, is it?
Kane, that's it. Yep. She was speaking quite openly about the two practice matches and it wasn't what they liked, but an opportunity to work out some of the kinks and blow the cobwebs out and all the rest of it. But she actually spoke quite positively about the list and realistic at the same time to go, look, we've got a lot of work to do. But she spoke about, the return of George Nanscorn, who obviously was our VFLW captain and was going to be our AFLW captain going into our first season, Jane, but obviously came down with that injury. In the last stages of that VFLW premiership game. So having her back in the list will be a boon for us, Jane. Like, she's a hard-at-it competitor, and I think the likes of Maddie Prasparkas will be licking her lips at the likes of having Georgia back. Just as someone to share the load in that midfield area.
Paige Scott was another one that I enjoyed watching last year.
Yeah, absolutely. Like Paige Scott, like another year in the system. Daria Bannister, similarly.
Amber Clark, I think she was good, right?
Nah, she was. There's plenty of stuff to look forward to for this season. Obviously Brooke Brown coming in as that sort of defender type, and our defence was that one area of the ground where we both thought we really needed some maturity down there. It was kind of a one man band down there. But you also look at the likes of a bit of development to Stephanie Wales, who carried our ruck responsibilities for the year. So another year into her. So I think she's still only like 20 or something, Jane. So yeah. you look at it broadly. Obviously the good players we've got, like your sort of Chris Barkas's and Toogoods and all the rest of it, plus the development of the younger ladies coming through. It should make for a exciting year ahead for the AFLW, and it all starts against the Hawks in Frankston, as you say.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see. Mate, I'm just going to quickly, before we go into the by the numbers, SEN has spoken to Scott Lucas, who's representing Darcy Parish in the contract negotiations. So they spoke to him, and they kind of pressured him about the length of the contract that the management were asking for. Lucas sounded pretty miffed at this and said the club is leaking information, and that's what Essendon do.
Oh, shit.
And he ended the conversation pretty abruptly. Now, I haven't heard the SEN call of that, but that's how it's being reported. I don't know if fighting managers is a good ploy when you're trying to sign up someone. But like, for a decorated champion in Scott Lucas to kind of make those kind of comments towards, and when they say they, I think it's more Adrian Dodoro, if you know what I mean. So I think that would be more of a slap towards him because that's what they do. And again, that's our reputation being somewhat tarnished by a decorated champion.
Yeah, absolutely, James. Like, that's really disappointing here. I mean, look, both sides play the media, so it shouldn't be unexpected. So obviously there's a bit of frustration there from both sides. I mean, from Scotty Lucas' side, he's obviously trying to get the best deal for the player he manages. Likewise, yes, the football club's trying to get things out. And you see managers float all the time. Oh, we've got other people, asking for his services. And they're happy to float that in the media, Jane, to put a pretty bit of pressure on the club. And obviously he hasn't liked how Essendon's, leaked it the other way to say, oh, this is what they're looking for.
It gets back to that Jared Waitley making those comments. His management have delusions of grandeur. So that would be, if you're his management, a slap towards you. So I guess you're going to expect a response back. But I just found that, the public pressure was probably on Parrish's management on what he was asking for. So the turn back on that is, well, that's just Essendon feeding the narrative. And
thinking about it, Jane, I think it actually reflects pretty poorly on Scotty Lucas, if I'm quite honest with you. To basically try to sink the boots into the club. And look, maybe there's some stuff going on there that we didn't know about, but on public broadcast radio, I think that's pretty poor form. These kind of discussions are expected in the media, so you can't have it both ways. You can't float that you got six clubs after him, for the hope of getting a better contract, without expecting stuff coming back the other way. So I know, that's just my 2 cents worth anyway.
Just to clear up, I'm not 100% sure Scott Lucas is acting as Darcy Parish's manager, because it just says player manager Scott Lucas has sensationally accused Essendon of leaking information surrounding. Oh, it is his client, say Darcy Parish. It is his client. So he just said there's too much commentary from Essendon. We've heard what Brad Scott said. The rest was just noise. The question was, does it bother you, some of the stuff that's been said? And he said, I could not care, but it's not helpful. Doesn't help when a club briefs journos on player management or player contracts. So they're pretty big, pretty big allegations that we're briefing journos. The question was then, you think Essendon's briefed journos? No doubt. It's obvious. We know what's being said. So, yeah, he basically said, he was then asked, how's Darcy? It's been a big week. You know, he played his 150th and he hasn't re-signed yet. And he said, yeah, fine. We're done, Tom. Move on. So he was quick to, he wasn't interested wanting to speak any more about that position. He probably saw the leverage was going on to the, you know, the 150 games and so forth.
Yeah.
So Morris ended the thing saying, so are you still confident that he's going to be at the club next year? And Lucas said, I think Brad Scott summed it up best and just in a very pragmatic way. So we know what Brad said. Brad said, usually when two parties, the player and the club, both want to stay at the same, you know, both want the same finish, generally these deals get done.
Yeah.
So it's just the byplay that's happening now. But, yeah, I guess this is where it's not helpful when it's in the public eye. Because these negotiations would happen all the time, I'm sure.
Yeah.
I'd say his management's probably getting a bit briefed, you know, a bit peed if sensitive stuff's coming out prior to, you know, that the media probably shouldn't be aware of. So, yeah, it's going to be interesting how that plays out. But I just thought I'd read some of those quotes because they're now being posted on the SEM website. Interesting play.
It certainly is.
Mate, let's go by the numbers, and then we already know who's the winner of the Don's Cast medal is, but we'll save the drum roll. and we'll go into on Friday night. As I said, we didn't do quarter by quarter, but we'll do player by player, and we start with Andy McGrath.
Yeah, look, I thought he had a pretty poor game, Jamie. Look, he racked up plenty of the footy, and that's great, but his failure to be able to make a tackle is like it just stands out like dog bollocks. It's like there was one particular play, I'm sure every Essendon fan out there knows a play I'm talking about, where a bloke came running up the middle of the ground and McGrath was flat-footed, reached out a hand, it was easily brushed off. That's not good enough. Like he had to come towards the player, sit him on his ass and grab that footy away from him. So look, you know, despite his stats looking pretty good, he did lay three tackles, but you know, at least on a few occasions, he seemed to shirk the body contact. For mine, I thought he was pretty average.
Yeah, and that's 2 weeks in a row now. Our vice captain really hasn't stepped up to the plate to lead. And look, he's not a naturally physical player. We understand that. You can't be what you're not. But, I mean, when you take a title like vice-captain, you have to stand for something. And I really hope he's going to do a lot of work on, you know, just basic tackling, mate, because his role calls for it, you know, being on the back line. And, you know, especially when you're in the middle of the ground and there's a charging opposition player, they can't just push past you. You know, you got to put everything in it to stop them. And so... Yeah, he found plenty of the footy, 23 possessions, but yeah, definitely wouldn't say that he stood out in any way. Darcy Parrish played his 150th game. He's the man that's been spoken about a lot, as we've just done. He's still able to find the footy 29 times. He had 13 kicks, 16 handballs, 4 marks, and 9 tackles, which is, again, a pretty good effort to have 9 tackles. And just the one behind. So well done on game 150. You know, as you and I both said, we really hope he stays. But despite having those kind of stats, he certainly didn't stand out in any way against the Pies.
Yeah, no, I thought he had a solid game, Jane. Like, he wasn't incredible, but I thought, he was the one bloke, you know, able to find the footy, as well as laying a few tackles, had obviously the 6 clearances as well. So he played his role for mine. So, yeah, but I couldn't say any more than solid.
Yep. Kyle Langford, he's been stellar all year for us. He had his didn't have his straight kicking boot on, mate. He kicked one goal, four on the night. Racked up 15 disposals, which might be a surprise because he usually plays forward, but was forced to go back at times. 11 kicks, four handballs, seven marks, and one tackle, and he kicked his regular goal, which he always kicks at least one. And his disposal efficiency, mate. I thought I'd read that out. 40%.
Yeah, I mean, obviously that's influenced a lot by those missed shots on goal. As well as the pressure he was under when he did try to collect the footy when he went down back. So I think, I thought he played okay. I mean, like, he kicks those goals and you talk about, gee, what a great game you had. But obviously when you miss those goals, it makes it hard to sort of overrate the game. I still think he played solid. I thought he played his role. He did what the team required. Yeah, went down back when we were bleeding goals. So I think he did play a solid game. But I couldn't say much more than that.
Elijah Sardis, he had a tough game. Mm. His kicking really needs a lot of work, mate.
Yeah.
He had 19 disposals, which might surprise some. 8 kicks, 11 handballs, 3 marks, 2 tackles. The kicking, and even though he's down as having almost 80% efficiency, it certainly didn't look like that being at the game.
Nah, didn't, Jam. Some of his kicks left a bit to be desired. Look, he'll be better for the run, but certainly his decision-making and kicking needs a lot of work over the off-season and pre-season to come. Likewise, his tackling. I think that's basically, might as well just put that comment right there across the board, Jane. I reckon we need to get someone, potentially hit up the Melbourne Storm, ask our old mates if they can lend us a tackling coach, because that's an area where we need to improve on across. And, Sardis is one of those. But, look, he's seen the level of AFL. Another pre-season for him, and let's hope he can stay fit for a full year and see what he's got.
Yeah, and like we understand, he's an 18-year-old kid playing against men, and Collingwood are quite a big side. So certainly not a knock, but there's certain skill he could learn from having a better tackling IQ.
Yep.
Zach Merritt, our captain, really led like he has all year. 36 disposals, 21 kicks, 15 handballs, 11 marks. There's our triple-double, mate. And the 5 tackles. Zach's been a wonderful player for us over a long period of time, but went at 83%. And we couldn't ask much more from the captain.
No, I thought he was absolutely fantastic, Jane. Like, particularly early, like the kicks he was making was so good. It was just unfortunate that, we didn't have our kicking boots on to make better use of them. As you say, like the 590 metres gained, absolutely huge. So he was, getting it done both ends of the ground. I think he actually had a sort of high for us of 9 score involvements to go with his possession. So I thought it was another fantastic game from Zach Merritt. And again, like 5 tackles, he's doing it defensively and offensively. Really showing by example.
Yeah, Ben Hobbs. Now, the opposition really don't like him, mate. I reckon every game I've been to, I've had to watch their opposition really try and go after him at times. So he must be just a niggly little beast, and I love that about him. You don't want the opposition to be comfortable. So he had the 20 disposals, 11 kicks, 9 handballs, 4 marks, 5 tackles. So it wasn't one of his better kicking games, I didn't think. He used the ball at 60%, and we saw that shot at goal, mate, which left a lot to be desired. But I think overall he really made growth in his second season, and he's one to look forward to growing even further.
Yeah, absolutely, James. And I think he actually played a bit of the game on Pendlebury. I saw him battling against Pendles for a fair chuck of the game, which is it would have been a great experience for him. And I think that's a bit of where that niggle came from. He was certainly given as good as he was receiving. So no, I thought he played quite a good game. Ben Hobbs had the 7 score involvements, as well as 7 contested possessions. I think, look, would love to see him lower the odds a bit, hit targets a bit more. But his actual contested work, was great. His tenacity at the football is never questioned. And certainly we have a lot of blokes in our team that could learn from Ben Hobbs. So I thought he played a good game.
Sam Wiedemann finally got back into the side after being in the twos for a number of weeks. Been playing down back, of course, Essendon being Essendon, we played him forward because we had to. Yeah. We didn't have much up there, but he took 5 marks, which I thought was a pretty good effort, and kicked 2/3 of our goals, mate. So he kicked 2 goals out of our 3. Look, he's was working his way back in, but I think it was a wise move to get him back in the side, so he doesn't have that hanging over his head for the preseason.
Yep.
To be able to kick a couple of goals, I thought, that was something in a forward team that couldn't kick goals to save themselves. He was able to kick 2.
Yeah, absolutely. I thought, obviously started the game really well with his couple of big, strong marks. So took the 5 at the end of the day, which would have given his confidence, a big lift. And to kick a couple of goals as well. Been good. I thought he played, solidly for his first game back at the level for a while. So, well done to Weed, played his role, and we certainly didn't make it easy for him.
No, Will Snelling had a typical Will Snelling game, if you ask me. Just the 11 disposals, 4 kicks, 7 anvils, 3 marks, 1 tackle, and kicked the behind. I don't know what the future holds for Will. I don't know if he's part of next year's makeup. He's out of contract. And from what I've seen, he's not having the impact he had, when he first came into the side.
Mm-hmm.
So, and again, on Friday night, I didn't really notice him much.
Yeah, agree with that, Jane. Sort of a bit of a ho-hum performance. From what I saw, not much of an impact for mine. Had a shot on goal but missed. I'd have to say a pretty average performance at the end of the day.
Will Setterfield finally got back into the side after that round 10 injury, I think it was, against Brisbane. It might have been the round 9 game against Brisbane. I can't remember. I remember how his foot stood on, and we thought it was going to be a 3-week injury. It turned into like 13 weeks, but he had 14 disposals, only 4 kicks, 10 handballs, 1 mark, 10 tackles, mate, which surprised me. Certainly did the grunt work, but probably in close, I'd say. But it was good to see the number 12 back out in the field.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like I still think he was a bit short of a gallop. Like there were a couple of times I saw him sort of jogging from contests, which I didn't particularly like, but he was obviously doing his work in the middle of the ground there. So, look, I'm happy to see him back. Great with those tackle numbers. So let's hope he can stay fit and knock into the preseason, knowing there's a role for him. As long as he keeps his hand up to take it. So I'd have to say better for the run.
Yeah, well, he's one of those taller players we need in the midfield, mate. So, he's got to work away. Nick Cox, he had 15 disposals, 8 kicks, 7 ambles, 5 marks, 3 tackles. I didn't mind his effort. He did his composure. There were some errors in his composure, I thought. But, again, it's just good to see him play out those last, I think, 6 weeks of the games, get those games under his belt. And he needs a huge preseason, to develop a little bit more and get a bit more confidence in his body.
Mm.
Because we saw in his debut year what he's capable of. Unfortunately, he hasn't been close to that since the last couple of years. So let's hope that we can get his body right and have a big 2024.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, there were a couple of moments with him, like that drop mark in that 50. It was pretty poor. Yeah, so a few moments he'd like to have again. I still think there's a play there, though. So, yeah, I'll leave it at better for the run, and hopefully he can develop over the pre-season.
Jaden Laverty's stats might surprise me. He had 31 disposals, 21 kicks, 10 handballs, 15 marks. That's our triple double again, mate. But to me, those stats surprised me the most because, there must have been a lot of short kicks in those because I really didn't notice his impact as a defender, So he certainly knew how to find the footy, though.
Yeah, he absolutely did, Jane. It's just unfortunate that he had to find it that many times. I'll say for Lab, I thought it was, look, he's been down on form recently, but I thought it was one of his better games down back, certainly in recent times. And to be quite honest with you, Jane, when you look at his performance against that of the other 22 blokes he ran down on the ground, he's certainly one who I thought could hold his head high. He played his role. I thought, when it was his time to go, he went. Certainly they weren't allowed like easy ball at times, or his opponent anyway. The back six as a whole didn't perform up to a huge standard, but I thought, Lav at least played his role. So I thought he played quite solidly. I think he's definitely one who will want to work pretty hard on facets of his game, like decision making, like and the speed of which he makes decisions, his kicking, timing, when he leaves his man or not, because his position may be one that comes under threat. Obviously, with Zirk Thatcher going, might lessen the conversation, but. From his first half of the year, he did really well. Back half, I thought, it was pretty average. But I think he'll, we'll be able to back him in to come back fit, firing, and ready to go pre-season. I'm going to back him in. I'll say it was a solid game, no more than that on the day.
Archie Perkins, I thought he bounded a tough night.
Yep.
Just 12 disposals, 5 kicks, 7 handballs, 1 mark and 0 tackles. So, I thought it was a pretty poor game from him, but, understanding, wasn't his night, but, obviously he has a big future.
Yeah, he does. Better for the run, you'd have to say. Hopefully anyway. I think, pretty average day, really. He was under pressure. When he got the footy, he didn't get the footy a lot. So, I'd say average game at best. I look forward to what he's got for the season to come.
Nick Hind, he finished the season quite well, I thought. He had 20 disposals, 14 kicks, 6 handballs, 8 marks. Tried to create run. Didn't use the ball as well, I didn't think, on the night. But, certainly in the last 5 or 6 weeks has been able to find the footy.
Yeah, certainly has, mate. I think he played an okay game, without being outstanding. So, well done for the back half of the year for Nick Hind.
We move on to Dyson Heppel, mate. 23 disposals, 12 kicks, 11 handballs, 9 marks, 2 tackles. Certainly put his hand up when he had to go and... again, a few players could take a leaf out of that.
Yeah, absolutely. Like I thought, there's some areas of the game he played well in. Obviously, he was one of the only blokes, James, who stood up and held up under a high footy when it was his time to go for the mark. Because certainly there were lots of blokes, and I'm looking at the next bloke on the list included Sammy Darren, who shirked a couple of contests, James. Dyson Heppel stood out of those, which is great. But then you look at the other side, his slow decision making at times really hurt our ball movement. Mind you, that was probably resultant from, like I said, no movement ahead of the ball, which makes it hard for you to kick to someone if no one's leading for you. So I think he played like a solid game. At the end of the day, had the five score involvements, as well as those positions you talked about. But I couldn't say any more than solid for mine.
Yeah, now Sammy Durham, his tackling was really poor, I thought, on the night. Had one of his higher possession games. He had 25 disposals, 14 kicks, 11 handballs, 10 marks, another triple-double, mate. There's a bit of a theme there with a lot of short kicking and so forth.
Mm.
Just the two tackles, and, he can be quite a physical player, yet sometimes, it just doesn't work for him, and it certainly didn't work for him on the night.
No, it didn't. I think, he was running well, but, that sort of aerial contest work, sometimes he just waits for the other team to go for it. He's very reactive in that way. So that's something he really needs to work on, to be more proactive and, aggressive at finding the footy. I think he played okay. Just sometimes those moments where you backed out of a contest or should have gone, just leave a bit of a sour taste in the mouth for mine. So let's hope he works on that over the off season.
Yeah, Nick Bryan got another game under his belt and had the 11 disposals, 7 kicks, 4 handballs, 3 marks, 3 tackles, 21 hitouts.
Yeah, I think better for the run is about all he could say there. Didn't star. Yeah, did a couple of nice things, but. Certainly another year, toughen up the body and, work on his overhead skills. That's about all I can say for him.
Yeah. Kane Baldwin, we can't hardly add anything, mate. We felt he was really stiff to be dropped against GWS.
Yep.
Gets the call up and, moments into the game, he's, basically KO'd out of it. So, really disappointing to see him not get another opportunity to play well. Mm. Nothing more I can add to that.
Yep, same goes.
Mason Redmond, he had a crack, but as you said, his body language was poor.
Mm.
20 disposals, 17 kicks, 3 handballs, 9 marks and 3 tackles. But it's that body language he has to work on if he wants to be a leader of the club like he aspires to.
Mm.
He has to understand it. He has to be a presence that demands standards, but also, owns his own performance.
Yeah, absolutely, James. I mean, he was on radio not long ago saying he wants to be a future captain of the Essendon Football Club, which are big words because, you've got a newly minted captain, Zach Merritt, who's playing good footy, who I think's, playing quite a good role as captain. And you're saying, as a senior player, that you basically want to oust him from the chair and you want to be the captain, but you're showing that kind of body language. And, to be quite honest, despite how good we know he can play, his performances, of late haven't been of a standard as we've expected of Redmond. And I think, it's a massive difference of, maturity for mine, because it's okay to expect standards and want other people to lift around you. But when you're not able to lift yourself, when you're not having a good day in yourself, and when you're showing pretty poor mannerisms on field, if things aren't going your way, well, that's not the best example to set to your younger blokes. And it's not going to put you in good stead for that leadership aspiration if that's what you're going for. So for mine, despite the disposals, and he did take some good marks down back, which is good, but despite all that, it was pretty disappointing for mine. I think really if he has those leadership aspirations, he needs to show it, not only in how he plays but the mannerisms in which he actually presents himself on the field and off field for that matter. I was pretty bemused by Mason Redmond on the night.
Yeah, and I didn't think he played terribly. That captaincy aspiration, it wasn't like he's saying he wanted to knock him out now and take over immediately, but it's something he aspires to. I don't mind that, but I mean, he's got to take on feedback too of body language and how that can really impact your team.
Yeah,
and he should be looking at Zach, because Zach, although he is a player that demands high standards,
mm-hmm.
You don't see Zach drop his head too often. You know, no. He's generally angry and wants to get that next tackle.
Yep.
So if he misses one, he'll follow it up with twice as hard to try and get the second one.
Mm.
And that's the mentality he has to have.
Yep.
And that's just my thoughts on that anyway. Yep. But Brandon Zerkbacher may have been his last game, mate. I think it was his birthday during the week. It may have been that day. Mm. But that was his last, if the reports are true, that's his last game in the red and black. And he's been a player that's really built, from his, when we first got him, mate, I know you had real worries about, this guy potentially being a fullback for us, but he did quite an admirable job, when he's had to the last year or so.
Mm-hmm.
15 disposals, 10 kicks, 5 handballs, 6 marks, and 1 tackle. But, he looked to hurt a shoulder at one point, but still stayed on the ground. How did you find his game?
Yeah, look, I thought he played okay, but there were times where he, sort of found, behind the footy, there was that one on the goal line, Jane, where he just got pushed out far too easily for the ball to go through for a goal, which, it was a bit disappointing. And, look, I do think, though, he kept trying all game, he was probably one of the better ones towards the third and fourth quarters when everyone else had sort of given up the ghost. But I still think, the Collingwood forwards definitely got the better of him. So I think he had an average performance at the end of the day. I guess that's all I can say about Zerk.
Yeah. Andrew Phillips definitely played his last game in the red and black, for Essendon at least. And, he had the 7 disposals. He had the 15 hit-outs. Kicked it behind it wasn't one of his best games, but he always puts his body on the line, and historically he's been quite good against Collingwood. I remember those games against Grundy when Grundy was playing A1. Phillips really had his number.
I thought Phillips played quite a solid game. Showed his physicality out there, and he's one of the few that can hold his head high at the end of that game. So well done for your send-off, Andrew Phillips. Just a shame the rest of the boys couldn't put in the same effort for you.
Yeah. Nick Martin found a bit more of the footy than he had the last couple of weeks, mate. He ended up racking up 26 disposals, 12 kicks, 14 handballs, 6 marks, 2 tackles. Didn't use the ball as well as we used to. Only went at 62%, and that physicality worried him at times.
Yeah, I think that's one thing he's really got to work on, Jane. I think as good as Nick Martin is offensively, the defensive side of his game just leaves a bit to be desired. Now, he did rack up the 26 disposals, as you say, Jane, I can't say that he made huge impact. I mean, you even look at the meters gained, it's 140 meters gained. So, I think he might have been involved in some of those, chip, around the back line. Whereas we're used to seeing him sort of, run, spread, carry, around the sort of wings of the ground. So, look, I think he had a pretty average game on the day, Jane. But again, young bloke, another pre-season, and hopefully toughen up and work on his tackling. So, I look forward to what he has for seasons ahead for us.
Yeah. Anthony McDonald, Tim Woody, we talked about unfortunately being his last game again for the Bombers, and just the 4 disposals on his last game, 2 kicks, 2 handballs, 1 tackle, and no score, which I know we were all looking forward to that, maybe getting a goal.
Yep.
And he used the ball at 25%. So we know the tipper of old would never have had that.
No, he wouldn't. And there was one play, Jane, on the wing, if you remember, where, you know, he chased and harassed and ended up winning the footy, and looked like he was trying to stream away, but he just didn't have the legs to go and ended up sort of basically falling over under his own steam. And that's the moment where you're like, yeah, he's got no more to give. Waller, I thought, yeah, it was good to see him out there one last time, Jane. And a shame the boys couldn't get up and about for him and get him more involved with the play. But he certainly had a fantastic career for us before that. And, I'm glad he's still going to be involved with the club in some way, shape or form. Not his best game of the day.
Jai Menzies, 7 disposals, 3 kicks, 4 handballs, and no score. So, again, it was a bit quiet performance, but let's face it, he never got the ball down there. So hard for him to have an impact.
Yeah, I mean, like early in the game, I thought he did try to get involved, came up and took a nice mark. But it was well and truly kept out of the game. So, look, an average performance is all I could say, but he's one I'll certainly be looking forward to seeing in future.
Sorry, mate, I've got a little bit of a visitor. I've got my grandson's just come on there, so can you say hello, everyone? Thank you. We can do the Doncaster medal votes now, mate. We'll go to the Doncaster medal votes. If you want to go with yours, and I'll follow up.
Yeah, beauty. So I went with 1 to Hobbs, 2 to Durham, 3 to Parrish, 4 to Laverty, and 5 to Zach Merritt, our captain. For the best on for mine. How about yourself, Jane?
Okay, so mine, I thought Merritt was definitely stood out as our best. Really stood out as our best player by far. And then following on with that, you had 4 to Parrish because, he was around the contest, got plenty of the ball. 3, I went to Durham. Mm-hmm. 2, sorry, mate. Never went with animals and kids. I actually gave votes to McGrath. I don't know how, but I think he was in my eye.
You had to find someone.
Yeah. And the one vote to Wiedemann because he kicked 2 of our 3 goals. So you can then give us the totals now, mate.
That's it. The final tally for the 2023 season, Jane. So from the bottom, we had 5 to Wright, 6 each to Perkins, Bryan and Draper, 7 to Setterfield, 9 to Wiedemann, 11 to Durham, 12 to Kelly, 14 each to Laverty, Phillips and Caldwell, 16 to Zerk Thatcher, 18 to Shield, 21 to Stringer, 23 to Hind, 29 for Heppel, McGrath's on 37, Hobbs on 48, Redman on 53, and our top 5, Jane, are Martin on 59, Parrish and Langford tie on 61, Ridley on 66, and our captain, our 3-time Doncaster medal winner, Jane, Zach Merritt on 94 Doncaster medal votes.
That's unbelievable. 3 out of 4 for Zach Merritt. Fantastic. His first year as captain, he's gone on to win, and I'm pretty sure we can bank on him winning another Best and Fairest medal, with the Crichton medal, coming up. So another great performance from Zach, and let's hope he gets a bit more support next year.
Absolutely, Jane.
Well, we'd like to thank everyone for listening. Obviously, we've got the AFLW team starting, and we'll start our end of season reviews with the players 1 to 10 next week with our review of the AFLW game. So, thanks everyone for listening again this year, and we hope you continue. And until next time, go Bombers.
Go Dons.